The scripture reading today is taken from the New Testament, Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. Please stand for the gospel reading taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 21. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And so ends the scripture reading. Praise be to God. Please be seated.
One of my main takeaways from 44 years of marriage is to lead with an apology. So I'm going to apologize if this sermon is a little rough around the edges, because I've been sharing my office with a four-year-old, an almost four-year-old. My grandson was there for 2 weeks as they transitioned from Detroit to Northern Virginia and for Christmas and all. But like all roommates, we had our problems. He's a bit of a slob. Stuff is everywhere. He sleeps a lot, except when he's supposed to. So between the hour or two in the afternoon, he was supposed to be asleep and was just playing, and the 12 or 14 hours at night he slept because he hadn't slept in the afternoon, I didn't get as much access to my office and my resources as I needed, so apologies. Although, you know, I wouldn't trade that 2 weeks for all the tea in China, to tell you the truth. This Sunday's interesting in the lectionary year because it offers a wealth of scriptures. It's three different days. As we all know, it is New Year's Day. It is also the first Sunday after Christmas Day, and it's various kinds of feasts around the church. I picked this scripture because I was attracted to its what next aspect. After the angels had left and gone back to heaven, what happened next? Well, the story tells us, but I'd like to imagine a little more of the story. If you were here on Christmas Day, and if you weren't, you're missing a good thing. It's a lovely service where we sing carols, ring bells. There is a story read, and you're out in 45 minutes and back to the cookies and the presents. So you should really check it out some year. Pastor Emeritus Andy Lunt led it this year, and he mentioned that he likes to read a story on Christmas Day because Christmas began with a story. And if you think about it, much of the Bible is stories. There's the big story of God calling us back to himself after we wandered, but there are all the little stories, Adam and Eve in the perfect garden, Abram and Sarai responding to God's call. There's Noah. There's God's salvation from slavery in Egypt. There's all the stories of all the kings. And then you get into the New Testament and you've got multiple stories of Jesus and the first apostles. I think more than half the Bible is just stories. So in that storytelling tradition, I would like to tell you about the shepherds. Now, it may surprise you to know that the early church preserved the names of the shepherds to whom the angels appeared. They were Bubba, Skeeter, Well, it's southern Judea, so what do you expect? Bubba, Skeeter, Tyrone, Big Ed, and Max. So they're out watching their sheep. They had just bedded them down. An angel had appeared to them. Then a whole choir of angels, known as a host. And this is where we start today, after the angels have gone home. Now, I don't know about you, but I cannot believe that they just looked at each other and said, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem to see this thing which the Lord hath made known unto us." No, no. I bet dollars to donuts there was a long spell of slack-jawed stupor. And not surprisingly, it was Tyrone who finally broke the silence. Tyrone is the chatty one. And he says, "Am I the only one who saw that?" And after another few moments, Bubba says, "You mean angels are real?" And here Bubba is expressing the reaction of at least this modern boy. I mean, I believe all those things we say in the creeds. I believe in God the Father. I believe in the Trinity to the extent that I understand it. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe that God took on human flesh and came and walked among us. I believe he performed miracles. I believe he rose from the dead. But angels? I don't think much about. But there it is. Now, if it had just been one angel, and if there had been no glory of the Lord shining about them, maybe they could have explained it away. But there was the glory of the Lord. And there was a whole host of angels singing. So they had to admit there were angels. And the message the messenger brought, that the Messiah, the Savior, the one they'd been waiting for centuries, had been born that day right next door. You have to do something with that news. So they all looked at Max, and Max sighed. You see, Max is the reluctant leader of this band. He doesn't understand how he wound up in charge. Big Ed owns almost half the sheep. So why isn't Big Ed in charge? It's Tyrone. Tyrone and his wife Deborah own the ram. Skeeter's the one with the hookup for selling all the milk and cheeses. So why isn't Skeeter in charge? Why isn't Tyrone in charge? No, it's Max who's in charge. So they look at Tyrone. And Tyrone is the one who actually says, "Let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass and which the Lord hath made known unto us." Or some Aramaic version that a first century Palestinian shepherd might actually have said. "But," said Bubba, who is the group's Mr. Negativity, you know, the guy that who's always got an objection to everything, every careful plan you have, they see the flaws in it. "These people are absolutely essential in any group or planning process. But they're also maddening to people like Max and the rest of the shepherds, and me. But," Bubba says, "how will we find this baby?" Skeeter, the practical one, pointed out that Bethlehem is really just a small town. It's only a few hundred people. How many one-year-old babies can there be? Max says, "Yes, and half of them are girls." At which Skeeter sighs because he and his wife have a whole house full of healthy boys, but they've always wanted a girl, so any mention of girl babies sets Skeeter to sighing. Anyways, the boys finally convinced Bubba that it couldn't be all that hard to find this baby that the messenger had announced, and they're confident that there will be some clues. Plus, Max's wife Joanna is a midwife. So problem mostly solved. So they settle the sheep down. Remember, the sheep had seen the angels, had heard the music. Now, if this were a Western and they were cattle, we would now be in the stampede scene. But they had them in a little box canyon with brush and poles across the mouth of it so that they couldn't go anywhere. So they get them settled down. This takes a while. They make sure the closure is good and tight. and that the sheep won't be going anywhere. They do this periodically. The boys also had a little klezmer band, and they would go off and play for weddings and a bar mitzvah now and then. So they're used to leaving the sheep. The sheep are used to being left. So they go into town. They go to Max's house. They ask Joanna. Well, Joanna did not deliver this baby herself, but she has heard through the mom grapevine that there is, in fact, a newborn baby born just that day to a stranger couple in town. Most people don't know the man is related to somebody who's somebody's cousin or something. Not clear on it, but he's got some connection to the town. And they are staying in a cave, that cave out on the edge of town where people keep their sheep. I mean, the shepherds keep their animals. The shepherds know it because once in a while they take a sickly lamb and its mother out there to care for it overnight. They knew the cave, so they go there. And of course they saw just what the messenger had told them they would see. A newborn boy wrapped in strips of fabric, asleep in the feed trough. And an exhausted mother and a very proud but worried-looking father. Max and the guys all stand at the entrance of the cave and are not sure what to do. They stare for a minute, and the one who speaks is surprisingly Big Ed, who's not prone to saying a whole lot, and all he can think to say is, "Well, I'll be danged." And they fall down on their faces, and they worship their Messiah. Not wanting to intrude, they stay for just a short while after they've worshiped. And though they didn't have much to say to the Holy Family, they did have a lot to say to everyone they met after that. They split up, they ran home, they told their families about it. Skeeter and Tamar's boys are especially excited because they've been telling them stories of the coming Messiah ever since they were little. When they run out of family members, they start stopping people in the street and telling them about it, the choir of angels, the announcement of the Messiah, the fact that they found him and where he is, that they've worshipped him. Funny thing is, most people believe them, angels and all. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that none of us will ever have choirs of angels visit us until we see the band of angels coming forward to carry us home. But even though we haven't had bands of angels sing to us, we have been called, just like Max and the boys. We've been told of the good news of Jesus' birth, and like him, we have to respond. Now, I'm going to get a little theological just for a moment. In Christianity, there are two strands of thought about, I call it the mechanics of how God works. How do we come to God? There are two strands of thought. One is by John Calvin, or as to go by his proper French name, Jean Calvin, who believed that before the world was formed, God had decided who would be saved and who would not, and that there's nothing we can do about it. Sound scriptural evidence for this thinking. But there was an opposing view propounded by a Dutch theologian who went by the name Arminius, or his Dutch name Jacob Harmensen, just because I don't get to speak Dutch much and I like saying it, who believed that we were all called. God had not elected just a few, but God had elected everyone, but that we had to respond to this call from God. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we have to respond. This is what John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement in the Church of England, believed. This is what Methodists around the world to this day believe, that we are all called, but that we have to respond with the help of the Holy Spirit. Or as one of our former pastors, Ken Brown, put it once, "I can't make the sun shine, but I can walk across the room and open the blinds and let it come in the house." So Max and the men went back to the sheep, but they went back as changed persons because they knew for sure that their Messiah had come. And on the way to the canyon, they started to sing. Big Ed, who didn't talk much, loved to sing, and he had a fine baritone voice. And he liked to sing the Psalms, and he sang a version of the 148th Psalm. He started, and the boys joined in. Praise the Lord, praise from the heavens, praise Him in the heights above, praise Him all the angels, praise Him and all His hosts who know His love. Praise Him, sun and moon, and praise Him, all you shining stars of light. Praise Him, all you highest heavens and you waters in the height. Let them praise the Lord's name, for He spoke and they all came to be. He set them in place forever, everlasting His decree. Praise the Lord from all the earth, all ocean depths and creatures there, lightning, snow, clouds, and winds that do His bidding everywhere. And that's the story of how Max and Big Ed and Tyrone and Skeeter and Bubba became the world's first evangelists. The first people to tell folks the good news that God came to earth to walk among us, to show us the Father, to be one of us, and ultimately to save us from sin and death. Amen.